Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, this is Ashley Meyer with Prevent Connect, and I'm pleased today to welcome Jessica Walsh, the Director of Prevention at Women's Resource Center in Newport, Rhode Island. Hello, Jessica.
Hi.
So, Jessica, we had talked not too long after a Prevent Connect web conference about popular education. And you had told me a lot about your work there in Rhode Island at Women's Resource Center. And just to get started, can you tell me more about that work right now?
Sure. So we are looking at social cohesion and community connectedness among youth in one of the neighborhoods here in Newport that has high rates of poverty and other related issues. And social cohesion has been connected in research to reductions in dating violence. So we decided that we would try to tackle it here, hoping that if we can increase community connectedness among youth, they would experience less domestic violence in the long term.
That sounds great. And it's so interesting, when we had talked, we were really talking about evaluation, and we were talking about your use of the popular education model and the questions. A lot of questions came up on our web conference in February about popular education, and folks were really looking at, you know, how do we do this? How do we know if we've met those outcomes? Popular education can seem kind of amorphous. So how is it that you all have been using popular education and doing your evaluation?
We think of popular education as how we do our work. It's a vehicle for doing our work. So we take a lot of the tenets of popular education, including recognizing that the community is the expert, that we all have something to teach and we all have something to learn, that we are all equals at the table. That is the frame within which we do our community work. And we fit that into a theory of change, which is a model called the Community Health Governance Model. And that model really focuses on how to create community collaboratives that will be successful in changing community health. And so one of the underpinnings of the theory is that the reason that these big collaboratives or cross-sector collaboratives, which are very much needed when you're talking about making large-scale changes in community health. However, when we bring those folks together, we are often speaking different languages, not to mention what role is the community playing. So community health governance says you have to make sure that individuals on the team feel empowered to make changes. They need to create social ties between each other and ultimately need to create synergy to get to collaborative problem solving. And so we're using popular education because it lends itself to creating a shared language. And what we're measuring is actually the outcomes from the community health governance model, which is individual empowerment, bridging social ties, and synergy. So we're using popular education as the vehicle, and we still have a theory of change that is measurable.
I think that really resonates with what we were talking about on the web conferences, the different ways we can use popular education. But a lot of folks were saying, you know, I really see this as a model that we can use to get to the change we're looking for. And that looks like that's what you're doing. Something that I find that's really, really key and really is exciting for me that you and I had talked about is the kind of the bridging social ties piece of the community health governance model. It's this idea that we've been calling social cohesion, and just how important that is. You and I had talked about how, you know, not a lot of people talk about social cohesion, but it's such an essential thing to have in our communities if we're going to collectively create solutions like you are hoping to do with this project.
Yeah, it's considered in Healthy People 2020 as a social determinant of health. I recently heard a story on the radio about looking at geography and health, and that they're able to connect social cohesion in certain cultures as a mitigating factor when it comes to health outcomes. And so it's interesting because social cohesion can improve health regardless of socioeconomic status. It can improve health regardless of a lot of other factors that often have negative impacts on health. And so building social cohesion has a really positive impact on a community, and it's something that doesn't take a lot of resources necessarily to build cohesion. It takes a lot of time. and a lot of working in the community and building great relationships with limited resources, this makes a lot of sense for us to invest our time in. It also really broadens who wants to work with you and who sees an interest in what you're doing.
I completely agree. Social cohesion, I think, is part of why I'm so interested in neighborhood-level work. It's something that impacts the health and the well-being of communities across a range of indicators. And one of the things that, obviously, you're focused on reducing intimate partner violence. You had mentioned earlier about research that youth community connectedness, when it increases, it can contribute to reducing teen dating violence, but it's not necessarily the same when we look at adults. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it's a study done out of Boston University. There was a community-level survey that looked at adults, and there was a youth survey that looked at teens living in the same neighborhood. And so it was one of the first times where they had sort of looked at the perception of cohesion from both a youth and an adult perspective. And perhaps not surprisingly, youth perceive their neighborhoods really differently than adults. And when they compared perception of cohesion to rates of dating violence, what they found is that increased perception of cohesion among teens was correlated to a decrease in dating violence, but that relationship did not exist when you looked at adult perception of cohesion and teen dating violence. So ultimately, the audience who is affected by the problem, it's their perception of cohesion that seems to really matter when you're talking about making a change in that problem, which is why we decided at Newport, let's see how would you go about increasing cohesion from a youth perspective.
Well, great. So what do you do and how do you evaluate that? You had told me you feel a bit like you're building the ship while sailing it. And I think that's almost essential when you're doing this kind of work. I worked with a lot of communities and community-based organizations where I said, you know, you're not the expert here, right? Like, you have
right.
to trust that the people with whom you're working are going to come to a solution, and it's going to be defined by them. It's going to be what they think is going to work. And so you might not know what the end's going to look like, but you can be there to facilitate the process.
Right, and that's really how we view our role. We had a group come to us. It's a neighborhood organization. They were having a problem with graffiti on this 200-foot wall in a park that kids were cutting through. And we decided that if done in a certain way, that we could use this as a social cohesion building activity to bring the community out to engage together. And so using a hashtag on social media, we collected over 500 photos from the community of their favorite places in Newport. And then we had about 10 artists that ranged across ages, and they created an image for the mural. And then we invited the community, and we had over 200 people come out and paint the mural with us. And it's only one piece, and it needs to be part of a much bigger strategy, but that's a really concrete way in which we used public art and something that the community already cared about to bring people together to do something that also enabled people to build relationships.
And it's really taking advantage of the natural, on the ground process of what's happening in your community.
We try to be really connected with as many different organizations as we can and as many different small groups. So we try to find who is doing cool things, but they're not at the table all the time. And we make a real effort to go and find those folks and figure out how can we take advantage of what they're doing and how can we provide our support, particularly if what they're doing is bringing people out of their homes to do things together.
And that's what's exciting for me is that, you know, this is a project, you're all about preventing intimate partner violence, teen dating violence, and it's not the usual kind of project that we hear about. It's not going into schools and doing, you know, the X, Y, and Z, you know, very popular curriculum. You're really
right,
working
right.
with your community, and you're doing things that people might, on the surface, not see as prevention, you know, sexual and domestic violence prevention, but it is happening.
Yeah, more and more I think people are understanding that you don't have to talk about domestic violence to be preventing it. It can feel like a big stretch, and we're lucky here that our leadership really supports it and our CDC project officers really support what we're doing, and that makes a huge difference.
So, Jessica, when we had last talked, you were still in the process of developing your evaluation tool. Are you still there, still doing that development?
Yes. So the people that we are evaluating are actually the organizers on the collaborative. So So we have a baseline neighborhood survey that we gave to about 50 young people that live in the neighborhood that assesses their perception of cohesion. So that we gave it this year, and we'll give it again in probably 2 years to see if there's been any movement. But that's a really like high level change, and we are pretty realistic that we don't know when we're going to see that needle move. So in the interim, we're using the community health governance model, suggests that you measure individual empowerment, bridging social ties and synergy on the collaborative. And so that's what we're doing. So we will be evaluating the collaborative while in the process of trying to move the needle on the bigger issue, which is increased social cohesion. So we have a draft together. Synergy is tricking us. We're not really sure how we're working on operationalizing synergy in a pre and post test. So
right.
That's where we're working, but it's been done before in other communities, so we've reached out to researchers from other places to find out how did they operationalize it. So we're hoping to have that pre-test fairly soon.
Great. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to learning more about that. And as you move along in the process, I know, you know, the ultimate outcome of this model is community health. Right before that in the model is collaborative problem solving. And so you've really stated that you expect that youth connectedness, that collaboration they'll propose collaboratively derived solutions. So what do you think is coming?
So one of the things that we've been doing some, interactive data collection, because we've been in an assessment process. And one of the things we're hearing is there's nothing to do in town, but we know that that's not 100% the story, because there are things to do. So there's something else going on, and when we've been digging a little bit deeper, what we're hearing is that youth really want less structured, more sort of laid-back opportunities to do things that are free or really inexpensive, where they can be safe, but also where they're not required to participate in a program. So we are working with some other youth serving organizations to pilot this is the idea the kids have, and we're going to try and make it happen, what we call pop-up youth activities. So there's the idea of pop-up restaurants, or pop-ups are kind of a thing right now. And so what we're looking at is, can we create a model where we have this collaborative of youth leaders is maybe on a monthly basis creating a pop-up one-off activity that will create over time the sense of momentum within the community, and also that there's always stuff for kids to do. It isn't to replace the existing programs, which are really meaningful and powerful for the kids who participate in them, but it's to also offer some less structured. So it might be one month we might paint a mural, another month we might show a movie. We are working on getting outdoor movie equipment so we can show movies in the park. So really just trying to work with the kids and find out what would get their friends out of the house and, again, start to create this cohesion. But what is really clear is they don't want to feel programmed. They don't want to feel stuck. They want to be able to do things that are fun and new and different on a regular basis. So we're trying to figure out a model that as adults, like, we can wrap our heads around, and that the community can wrap their heads around, but that the young people are really inclined to participate in.
Yeah, and that takes time and it takes thought. So let's do a follow-up podcast and give it some time and see where you end up, where you go with this, what your evaluation looks like as your tools are developed further. And thank you so much for joining me. I've been talking to Jessica Walsh, the Director of Prevention at Women's Resource Center in Newport, Rhode Island. We've been talking about popular education and the community health governance model as it pertains to the community and youth in particular in Newport, Rhode Island. So thank you, Jessica, and I look forward to speaking with you in the future.
Of course, and thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CALCASA.org.